Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Visual Studio Code live stream. I don't know if there was like a moment of silence there for y'all where I was just staring awkwardly at the camera. If there was, I apologize. Welcome to this well-oiled machine that is the Visual Studio Code live stream. But we're very glad you're here today. I'm glad you're here. We have an exciting stream for you today. Today, we're talking about code spaces, but not just code spaces, some other stuff too. I know that there's been a lot of interest, a lot of excitement, a lot of questions about code spaces. We're going to get into all of that today. Before we do that, a couple of reminders for you. I know that I don't ever say this, but YouTube, we're on YouTube. If you're there already watching us on YouTube, then you're in the right place to just move your mouse down a little bit, hit that subscribe button. You can do it. It'll feel good. We appreciate that. We'd love to connect with you there. We usually have an AKA for that, but it's youtube.com/code, easy enough. And also, if you are looking for yet another social media network to add to your life to remove the precious free moments of your day that you have, then you need to follow us on TikTok, which is tiktok.com/VS Code. So VS Code on TikTok, Code on YouTube. We'd love to hang out with you there. It's a lot of fun. But let's get right into our stream for today because it's a great one. It's been highly anticipated. This past week, CodeSpaces reached what we call general availability or GA. We're going to talk about what that means. And we're also going to talk about something else that shipped kind of along with it. And so with that, for that, I want to invite to the stream two folks who've worked directly on this product, Bridget Murtaugh from the VS Code team and Allison Wines, who worked on the CodeSpaces team. What's up, folks, and welcome to the stream. Oh, I think I need to add them to the stream. Let's see here. Hey, Allison. Hey, Bridget. Sorry. I'm
producing
today.
Hello.
Do you have your coffee yet? Do we need to get a refill?
I know, it's right here. I just haven't had it.
Cheers.
I have water, if that counts. I'll be part of the party.
You got to hydrate. That's great,
too. Yeah.
They have caffeinated water at the gas station. I've seen it. Anyway, welcome to the stream. What are we talking about today?
Yeah, so we are talking about code spaces, which, as you talked about, reached general availability last week after, you know, a kind of, you know, long beta period. I say long because I was just working a lot during that period. It both felt like a long period of time and very short. But we also have sort of like the sneak peek cool, and then there's more, which is GitHub.dev, or what we're, you know, calling the lightweight editor experience, which Bridget has spent a lot of her focus time on. So before we get too much into, you know, all the nitty gritty, we sort of wanted to explain the difference, because we've been seeing some confusion of like, are they both code spaces? It's like, what is one? What's the other? They're released on the same day as sort of companion experiences. So we just wanted to, you know, help everyone figure out when you should use each. So code spaces is pretty much fully fledged development environments. So these you can think of as replacements for your local hardware in a lot of cases. These will have your runtimes, all your libraries installed, full terminal access. We'll go into all the great things you can do. But the key thing is they have compute attached to them. And because of that, and because the cloud is not free, it's a paid service right now. And currently it's only available to folks on the GitHub team or enterprise plans. So we're really focused on enabling team scenarios right now with code spaces. And Bridget can tell us a little bit more about our editor experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So that lightweight editor that you get right in the browser at that github.dev URL, that's going to be available to anyone. So you don't have to be on any specific plan, and it is free. And it's still going to give you a VS Code experience running in the browser. But different than code spaces, it's not going to have any associated compute. So even though you're going to get experiences where you can browse files, you can edit them, and you can commit back to your repo, and you can even create pull requests, you're not going to be able to actually run that code or debug it. So if you want to go and test those changes, we'd recommend going into a code space or going into local VS Code to get that further experience there.
Well, that is awesome. I have had access to both these things and I use them both for different things, but it's great to hear that we have at least something for everybody now with GitHub.dev. So with that, I understand we have some demos today and maybe we could just jump right into that.
Yeah, we all know that, you know, creating clarity around similar offerings is best done with demos. So Bridget and I have some cool stuff to show.
Absolutely. Super excited. I can go ahead and share my screen. Let's get into the first demo.
All right.
Take it away, Bridget.
Take it away. Okay, I'm going to share my screen here. Cool. Right.
Add that up. All right, and go for it.
All right, so here we are. So I'm just starting off on, and you can go to any repo that you have on GitHub. And I'm starting off on this one that Allison actually shared with me that's called Haikus for Code Spaces. It's a really nice repo, and it's a quick Node project template. And so when you're starting off on any repo, this really cool shortcut that you can use is you can actually just press the dot or the period key on your keyboard. So I'm going to do that right now, pressing the dot. And when you do that, you can see you get this message that it's setting up your web editor. You can see it's super fast, and you're brought into this VS Code experience right into the browser. And then you can see in the URL here, it changed to github.dev instead of github.com. So if you'd prefer to do that instead of hitting the dot, or let's say you're on mobile, like maybe you're on an iPad or something, you could just go ahead and change the URL to .dev directly instead of hitting the dot.
And if you're on like a particular file on that like repo main page, right, will launch you directly into that file as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And you could even go ahead and do it from a pull request directly. And so you can do it from a certain branch, you could do it from a certain pull request, anything like that. You can just hit the dot, you could change it to github.dev, and you can be brought into a specific area within your repo. So it's pretty flexible and pretty powerful.
Pretty much if I see code on the screen on github.com and I hit dot, I'll just get VS Code suddenly and this really rich experience.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Okay, so here we are, and this looks just like VS Code because it is VS Code. And so we can see we have our files loaded up here. And so I have a preview of the README here. I can go ahead and click in, and I can see the README. I could go ahead and type and make some changes. So I could say, hello from the web editor, if I wanted.
Of course, then, can't type in front of people without the minor typos, right?
No, you know, you forget where all of your keys are. You get a little bit nervous. So I promise I know how to type. Just, you get a little bit nervous live, you know?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then what's cool, too, is that you can also even get some different completions and syntax highlighting and just like a rich experience as well in the browser. So you can see here, for instance, with JavaScript, you can have some highlighting here. If I right click here, we have like go to definition, go to references. So for instance, I could click here, I could go to references for this keyword here. And then if I go ahead and type something else, we can see that I do get completions. It really feels like a pretty rich experience. It doesn't just feel like a really limited text editor in the browser or anything like that.
Yeah, you know, I love the Markdown editor embedded in github.com, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't love this experience just a little bit more.
Just a little bit more. You get that little bit of extra help and richness of VS Code.
It's like candy as you code.
Yeah. And it's cool too, because then even if you go to something like a CSS file, you can go ahead and get that like color picker, which is nice. So just these cool extra touches.
Awesome.
Yes. Okay. And then let's say that I wanted to go ahead and search for a certain word. And so you can go ahead and search your repo just like you would in local VS Code. And so when I search here, you can see that you actually get multi-file search. It's not even just across a single file. It does do multi-file search with indexing. So that's pretty convenient. And if we just continue down our sidebar here of different views, we can see we also get extensions, which is pretty nice to add further extensibility to our experience.
So can we install like a special theme?
We absolutely could. Do you have a favorite one?
I mean, I do love some fairy floss. I'm also hungry for cotton candy right now, but we'll start with the fairy floss.
Let's go ahead and do fairy floss then. All right, so I can just go ahead and install fairy floss right there. Boom.
Love it. Purple of my dreams.
Yes. So now we have an even more magical coding experience right in the browser. It's pretty nice.
And do I have to set this for every time I hit the dot, or can I make sure that it's, you know, synced out to all the other instances?
Yeah, that's a great question. So if you're familiar with the traditional VS Code experience, we have this service called Setting Sync, which allows you to sync your settings, like your themes, your key bindings and extensions overall, across all of your VS Code instances. So that way, if you use VS Code in one machine, you can get the same experience in another machine. And it works in CodeSpaces as well. And Setting Sync does work in this web editor as well. So you could go down here, and you could go ahead and turn on Setting Sync and choose what you would like to sync across devices. So you can make sure you have your Fairy Floss across all of your instances.
I love it. Love it. All right. I won't make you sync this, though, because I know Fairy Floss is my thing, not your thing.
I appreciate it. You know, we all have to have our own unique themes and preferences. And then something else cool down here that you might have seen really quickly is you can also switch between if you want to use stable VS Code or Insider's VS Code in the browser. So if you want all the latest like features and fixes, you can go ahead and use Insider's directly in the browser, since that is what Insider's VS Code does. We can ship basically nightly new changes. So yeah, you can choose whatever release cadence you would like to be on directly in the browser.
Wow. So you can really be on the cutting edge of the cutting edge.
Yes.
With this. Perfect. Sharp. Yeah,
cutting edge.
Like, stay sharp.
Absolutely. Cool. All right. So now that we've gone through, we've made some changes, I think I'd like to actually see what it looks like to make a change to this repo, since I feel like that would kind of be the next logical step here. So let me go ahead and clean up here, since I've opened up many tabs, as I feel like I typically do. Yes. Oftentimes, yes. So I'll go ahead and I'll discard this change in the README. I don't really need that. But I can go ahead and we see here we can even get a diff view like we're used to. So I can see here, okay, I went ahead and I changed this color here. I'm not sure if I like that one. I'm going to discard that. Let's go back and just make a safe change to the README. I feel like that's a good change to make. And I would just like to go ahead and add a little bit of extra excitement to the README. Because you know what? It's Thursday. It's almost Friday. I'm feeling pretty excited about this web editor. I just want to add another exclamation mark. So what I could do here is I could just go ahead and directly commit this to the main branch on GitHub is what it's telling me. So I could just type in a commit message here, and then all I would need to do is hit commit. It would bring that change directly into my repo.
Okay, so this is very similar to I hit that pencil button, I've made some changes in the Markdown editor, and then it asks me if I want to commit to main or like create a patch branch. It's like very similar to that right now.
Yes, yeah, pretty similar to that.
Perfect. But what if we don't want to commit to main? Like,
yes. Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think we don't always want to just go commit all of our changes directly to main. That's not necessarily the best practice that we want to do. And so down here in the status bar, we can see which branch we're currently on. So right now we're on main, and I can click on that. And I can switch to an existing branch I have, or I can go ahead and create a new branch. So let's create a new branch. And so I'm going to call this stream branch, because we're streaming. Seems like a good name.
I approve.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Okay. And we're going to go ahead and switch over to that branch. And so we can see that we're going to reload here quickly. It's all quite fast. And now when I'm brought over to the source control viewlet and I open up this diff here, I can see that my change came with me. So I'm able to continue my work over on this new branch. And instead of committing to main, because I don't really want to risk that, I can now commit it to this new branch that I made, which I feel a bit better about. And so now, instead of committing directly to main, I'm going to commit directly to the stream branch. So I'm going to say update README and commit. And there we go. We made the commit.
That's awesome.
Yes. And now let's say, okay, I feel pretty good about this change and I would like to see it over in main. I would like to merge it over there. What I can do is I can create a pull request, and I can do that pretty easily just by creating this, or hitting this create pull request button. So here we go. I'll expand this a little bit. So we can choose where we would like to merge our changes from and where we'd like to merge our changes into. And so I can see here that I'm merging my changes from my current repo, and I can choose which branch, so just my current stream branch, but I could have chosen any branches that I have on this repo. And I can choose where I'd like to merge it into. So again, main sounds good to me. I can choose any title for this PR, and I'm gonna call this, I think we need more excitement.
Oh, let me go refill my coffee and then I'll be there for you.
All right. I'm already there. Just the water was enough to get me there. Okay. And then I'm going to say create.
And you could also create as a draft. Like, this feels so rich for something that doesn't have compute attached to it. It's amazing.
Absolutely. Okay. And then we're brought into this overview page, and we can see a lot of information about this PR. So we can see that it created, has this title we set out, and we can even set some information about it. Like, we could set up reviewers. So I could say Allison is a reviewer. We can set up labels. So we can really, depending on how our team works, we can really set up this PR following that working structure. And I could even go ahead and merge it if I wanted. But rather than merging it myself, I would feel more confident if Allison went ahead and gave it a review. And maybe if she even went ahead and tested this app to make sure that I didn't break anything. Because technically, okay, I only updated the README, but I haven't been able to run this app yet. So I'd like to go ahead and make sure that it is still running properly.
Yeah,
and so, that makes sense. Yeah. As we mentioned, since this web editor experience doesn't have any compute, if I went over here to the run and debug, we can see here that they're not available in this environment. And if I go ahead and open up a terminal, we can also see that it's not available in this environment. So if I wanted to go ahead and work on this repo in a different environment, I totally could. It guides me there. So I could say continue working on, and I could choose to either clone this repo locally, so work on it in my desktop VS Code instance, or I could create a new code space on it and work on it there. But rather than me doing that, I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to Allison, so that way she can work on this in a code space and she can show you all the awesome features of code spaces. So I'll go ahead and pass it over to you, Allison.
For sure. And I think one interesting point there at the end is that if you're going to sort of power up into a code space from the editor experience, you want to make sure to commit your changes first, right? Because we'll take the last commit when we actually create the code space. So pro tip for those of you switching between the editor and a code space. Awesome. All right. Absolutely. So let's bring up mine. Awesome. Classic. Can you see my screen? Here we are. So I've got, let me go ahead and refresh this because, you know, I was watching the haikus for Codespaces repo very intently, waiting for this PR. And so
the
if we go
PR
here,
of the day.
The best PR of the day, really adding some like fun and excitement to my day. So as Bridget mentioned, she hasn't been able to actually run the application and make sure that her changes, you know, didn't have any adverse side effects. You know how pesky those exclamation points can be. So for this pull request, she didn't review me, but we were chatting with each other, so I know that I'm going to go check it out for her. One of the really cool things with Codespaces is that you don't just have to do it from the repository level here, which is generally where we ask folks to start. You can also do it directly from a pull request. And what's great about that is it puts you, you know, exactly on the right branch. It will allow you to just really get started on reviewing that pull request immediately without having to, you know, open the right set of files, check out the correct branch. We really want to make it easy for you to do the task that you want to do. So you can see there, very quick creation. What's important to note here is that we're using our universal image, which is sort of a catch-all of different languages and runtimes that you might need for any given project. So the great thing here, you know, just to sort of show
it
the
might be better to even zoom in a little bit there, Allison.
So we can Let me zoom it to it. How's that?
One more? Can we go one more?
Yeah. How's that?
Can we go one more?
Oh, I feel like you're just messing with me now.
No, just one more. Seriously, just one more. Perfect. That's perfect.
Oh, that's great.
I'm leaving now. I swear.
You want to get all the good code spaces action.
All the good code spaces action. All right. Let's hope there's not a delay because it's, you know, bigger code spaces are better code spaces. So I think we're just going to run with it. Awesome. So we have obviously looks very similar to what Bridget was showing beforehand. But the key differences are when I go to things like run and debug, you'll notice I don't have that like continue on. And ooh, look at that load. And it actually says I can run and debug. I don't have that continue working on. So I've got full compute here. And if I open my terminal as well as it finishes loading up, you'll see that I actually have the ability to do things like get status here. And it's like, great, I'm up to date. I'm good. But I actually have that full terminal access here, which I love. So back to our original point, I want to review this pull request for Bridget. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and look at this pull request through the GitHub pull request extension. You'll see that I can go ahead and just click on this. And let me close my terminal for y'all so that way we can see what our lovely pull request has. I can see her comments. I can see the exact commits that were done. And then I can also just go ahead and open this file. And I can see like, oh yeah, she added an extra exclamation point. I really think we can do better. So I'm going to say more excitement. And of course, I can't type when everyone's looking at me either. So we're going to do the best we can. But I can go ahead and comment directly from here, which is awesome. I love that I can just do all my work from within a code space. So I can go ahead and do that. But additionally, I want to go ahead and run this application. I want to make sure that adding an exclamation point isn't going to mess us up. I probably should have done that before I told her more excitement, but we can always edit our comments, so that's okay. So the thing I'm going to do here is go ahead and do npm run dev. So this is actually going to start my application here. So we are starting our haikus for code spaces. Now, with code spaces, you're of course connected to a remote machine. And one of the key questions we get asked a lot is, okay, I know how to do development for my website when it's locally, I run it, I connect to localhost. Allison, how in the world do I get to the localhost of this remote machine I'm working on now? The great news is we take care of that for you. So we forward the port and connect you to it. And ideally, you don't even have to think about it. So when you actually start your application and we see that there's an application running on a port on the remote machine, we give you this nice little toast and we say, hey, we noticed port 3000 is now active. Do you want to see all your forward ports? Do you want to just go ahead and open this in the browser? So if you see all, we'll bring up the ports view. This also allows you to forward a port manually if you need to, but we try to catch all the ones that might be active. So here you can see we've got our lovely little Mona haikus. Yeah, it's a little bit of excitement here. And so this is actually the running application on my code space, and I didn't have to do anything extra, no extra configuration. I just ran my application like I normally do, and it forwarded the port. Now, this by default, locked down just for me. But maybe you're collaborating with a friend. Maybe something went wrong in this and I need to show Bridget. What I can do is go ahead and do make public. And then now if I took this address, this URL, which you know is a set of GUID and whatnot, if I sent this to Bridget right now, she could actually access this same running port. And so this is great if you're a developer, you're working with your PM or your designer, and you want to show them a preview of what your website or your web application is actually working like, and they don't have access to code spaces. You can do that just by making your port public and then sending them that link. Definitely one of my favorites when I'm collaborating with folks from afar. And for privacy, if you suspended your code space, or if you stopped the application and then restarted it, we would make it private again. Or like if you stopped forwarding the port, we always revert it back to private so that you don't just have a bunch of open ports for the world. We try to keep you safe where we can. All right, that looks great. I am going to do the last little bit here, which is go ahead and approve this.
Yay.
Yeah, because you know what? I think you did a great job. And you can add more excitement if you want to, but I'll give you the approval for now.
Okay. Sounds good. We're able to test and run it. And so we saw it didn't break anything. That was the top priority.
Exactly. Awesome. So that's our quick preview of Code Spaces. One thing I will let folks know is for folks who are organization owners, you can just go to your organization or your team. If you go to settings, all you need to do to get this enabled right now is to go to that Code Spaces settings page, and then you're going to just say, do you want to enable this for all your users? Do you have a couple of superstars that you want to enable it for? And for all organization and teams, it is free until September 10th. So if you haven't tried out Code Spaces for your team, now's a great time to do it before we actually allow charging to kick in. That's it for me. Any questions?
Oh, man. Do we have questions?
Oh, my.
Do we have questions and how? All right. So let's just jump right into it. A lot have been answered in chat, but I think it's worth talking about some of them here. So, and I'm going to try with the names, y'all, because I just love your questions. But we have Wozciech Nista, I hope I'm saying that correctly, asked, I was wondering if the typical VS Code keyboard shortcuts also work in Code Spaces. And then he also pointed out, I think rightly so, is that the Control W, or we pointed out about Control W, and that has a very different action in the browser than it does in VS Code. So maybe you could elaborate more on that.
Yeah. So we are limited sometimes by what the browsers want to do. It's just the reality. Your key bindings should work, particularly if you have setting sync, right? And if you sync over your key bindings through that, we do the best we can to respect them. Control W is kind of a tough one because browsers like to stomp over it. For folks who are really big on their keyboard shortcuts, we actually recommend you either install the Code Spaces tab as a PWA. So that's particularly useful for folks who are on iPads or other tablets. And if you have the ability to download Visual Studio Code locally, you can actually use Visual Studio Code installed locally to connect to Code Spaces. And we have great documentation on how to get that set up. And then you don't have to worry about anyone else stomping on your key bindings. You can really leverage the ones you already have set locally.
Yeah, the local Code Spaces experience is quite nice, and not something we showed in the demo, but something I use quite frequently. It's kind of like opening a project without cloning it. It's a very interesting experience. A lot of comments about themes. Themes are popular, so people
comment your favorite theme.
So Alex likes GitHub Lite. Newt likes the Material theme. Excuse me. Mario said Synthwave 84, which I see
a lot. Good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. Darren said VS Code finally lured me away from Notepad++. So I guess we owe Notepad++ an apology. Sorry about that. One of the things, someone asked, does the live server extension work on this? This was Shashrat asked this question. It's a great question. The live server, which allows you to run a server with live reload as you make changes.
Yeah, so I think the last time Bridget actually helped lead a extensive set of tests for extensions within Code Spaces. I think at this point, I think live server should work. I know we had a bug in it for a while where it didn't. There's great documentation in the Visual Studio Code docs on which limitations we have. Bridget, you'll have to fact check me. Yeah, I think there was a bug that stopped it. I think we fixed it. But if not, it'll be clearly documented in the sort of known limitations for Code Spaces in the VS Code docs. As far as sort of workarounds, it would be interesting to know if the native port forwarding isn't working and why, because we'd love to be able, you know, to fix that without you having to rely on other extensions.
Yeah, as far as our last testing, I believe live server should work. I believe that through our testing, we made it so that it should work. But yeah, if you're facing any issues, especially with, yeah, the native port forwarding, we'd love to hear that. And for the web editor experience, I don't believe live server is going to work there right now. But the set of extensions for the web editor is expected to grow over time.
Yeah, I imagine we can't really get a server up and running without compute. So that might be difficult in the editor experience.
Exactly.
So Wobblecat asked, is it possible for me to run CodeSpaces on my microwave so that I can review PRs while I'm waiting for my food to be microwaved? I don't see why this should be out of the realm of possibility. I feel like that's a legit request.
If your microwave has a browser, which, let's be real, so many smart appliances have some sort of that, I don't see why not. If you get that working, please tweet at us, because I need to get that like framed in our office if you get that working.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I saw somebody, I think Paige is on the call, and I saw her tweet. Somebody got it running on a Tesla. It was on there in the car on the Tesla. Which I thought was pretty cool.
Enable autopilot mode, review your PR, and then keep going.
Do not. That is not official recommendation from the VS Code live stream. Okay, we're right about at time. Actually, we're 1 minute over. So with that, I think we're going to go ahead and close it out. I want to thank both of y'all. Thank you.
Yeah. Don't do that.
We do not promote that.
It was a joke.
Please. We don't want to be on the news. So we thank you for being with us. Thank you, Allison and Bridget, so much for that wonderful demo. I think the only thing left for everybody to do is, if you haven't already tried it, go to a GitHub repo and hit that dot. It's a remarkably satisfying feeling to hit that dot and open the repo in CodeSpaces. So thank you so much, y'all. We really appreciate it. And to all of you out there, our viewers, thank you for being with us. We always love to see you, and we'd love to hear from you. And we would love to hear from you about your usage of github.dev or CodeSpaces. And you can find us all over social media. We'd love to connect with you there. So we will see you next time, next week, for our next live stream. Bye, everybody.
Bye.